So would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, we're Zulu Winter, and this is Guy.
I'm Will.
This is Dom.
My name's Ian.
Hello, this is Henry.
So let's see, I know that there are people who met in school, and it was a long time ago, and that theoretically this is a brand new band, despite the fact that there's some history.
Yes, we did meet at school, as you say, but only four of us. Ian then joined after, and our original bass player went off travelling for a year, so we sadly lost him. But happily gained Ian after we met at a party, which was actually a drum and bass rave at the Millennium Dome.
The drum and the bass.
Was it 2001? I think it must have been 2001. Yeah.
I said it was the best day of my life, you know?
and yes, as you correctly also said, yeah, I mean, it's only been, obviously, yes, we've known each other for a long time, but it's only been 18 months or so of this particular stuff. Will?
I think we none of us could play our instruments when we first started, when we were about 18, 17. So it's been... It probably, until we started writing Zulu Winter records about sort of 18 months, 2 years ago, I think it was only then that we really sort of knew what we were trying to do. Not only as far as the band goes, but also as far as playing. I think we've actually progressed hugely in the past 2 years playing-wise as well, which is exciting, because we might get even better. Never know.
We locked ourselves in the room for a good year and a half, I'd say, sort of trying to get all our stuff together. We didn't want to sort of release anything out to the open until we'd sort of got 10 or so songs that were up to scratch. And we ended up writing probably about 30 songs or so, if not more. And then recorded the best ones, and here we are.
Yeah, I think one of the great things about us is that we all have differing influences and things like that, you know. Me and Guy come from a much more sort of beaty background. Dom and Henry like their atmospherics, and I think that shows in the album the way we play.
Interesting bit of information is that Dom should probably actually be the guitarist in this band, but he got his guitar stolen out of a car, so he's now on keyboards and I'm on guitar.
Yeah. I wasn't the original singer. Originally, when we first started playing together at school, there was a guy called Rowley Gregg, who's now in the army, and he won a Victoria Cross or something.
No, I didn't think he won a bit. It was like
he won an award for being brave in Afghanistan. While we've just sort of knobbed around in a band, so he's done much better than I have.
I think our original bass player is probably, he's probably earning way more money than we probably ever will as well, right?
Tribal pop, post-Coldplay rock, noir, white lies. That would be the Guardian, you know. And let's get it all out of the way. Oh, the new vaccines, and you know, same management, so therefore, blah 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 blah. So this is that little opportunity to say those classic lines that you're supposed to say at this moment in time. And I'm airing this part of the question, by the way. I will air what I've just said here. Where you told me that you spent a year and a half, you've written 30 songs. Can we clear up the fact that when you set out to make this band, you spent some time thinking who you wanted to be when you grow up?
Yeah, and we definitely... It's a funny one with us, because we didn't have any specific vision or there was no master plan as to what we wanted to do. I think that was partly because there's five of us. We all know each other well enough that if one of us tries to pull weight, then it doesn't work. So what we've ended up with is representative of the five of us rather than one person's individual vision. So it's pretty difficult for any of us to have like a grand master plan, because no one would allow anybody else to do that, which is a really good thing, because you end up with something which is more unique than you may think.
I think also when we've all grown up together, and sort of in the beginning we were listening to completely different music than we're listening to now, and yeah, you guess because we didn't meet at a, we didn't say, oh, we want to be the Roxy Music or something and all meet like that. we guess, grew up together and came up with a sound.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I think, as Don said, having grown up together and we're making music together, I think previously we had probably been overtly influenced by specific bands at specific points when we were younger. And I think that's something that we did when we were younger quite a lot. And I think we always end up being a real pastiche kind of thing when we did that. And I think we actually wanted not to do that, really. But like Will says, it wasn't like a grand plan. But we did find a sound, I suppose, yeah. After the first, we wrote a couple of things. After, I think Back to Front was the first song we hit upon, and we were like, that, and almost that was a reference for the album in its own way, if that makes any sense.
And songs are the key for us. I mean, if the song has to be served as well as it possibly can be, and that's the sort of the overarching vision is to write good songs.
You did get signed to Double Denim, but that's there. So now tell me, here it's Arts and Crafts, right? So that's an interesting place to be, because they're known for a lot of famous Canadian bands, right?
I mean, majors are. We were approached by a lot of majors when we first sort of brought any songs out into the public domain, and I think we made a pretty conscious decision not to do that. Partly because if you sign to a major, the pressure on your first album is enormous, because they invest such a huge amount of money into you that unless they see very fast returns, then normally you either get dropped at the end of your first album cycle, or you have to make a second album in a rush, and it's not a very creative space for most artists. Some artists it works for. I don't think it would have worked for us, because I think we're not as obvious a pop band as I think initially it may have seemed. And I think we signed to PS for UK and Europe, who are an amazing label. And we're sort of a relatively new signing for them. And it was, I think, signing to an indie over here, having spoken to Jeffrey, I mean, his ethic was just... He was just like, all I want you to do is to come over here and work hard and tour. And he's very old school. There's no trickery. There's no, we're going to try and get you into this place and this place and this place. He was just like, all you have to do is get over, play, make a good record, and that's it. And we were like, well, that sounds simple. And that's what we want. What we want from a label is just to work as hard as we can work and not make any false promises. And he was realistic. And so we just decided that that was a cool idea.
Kevin, from being from Broken Social Scene, obviously having someone who's a musician rather than a businessman is kind of key. Easier to trust someone that does music rather than business.
US versus the UK. Do you really give a shite about being big? Do you want to be a big band? I mean, you want to make a living at this, obviously. You're dedicated to not working day jobs and being a real band, so to speak.
It is. I mean, we talked about, obviously, we're here right now and it's our first time here and it's amazing. We talked about it a lot, having been here. And it is obviously, and it is a big deal. It's the big thing, breaking the US. And actually, I think we were speaking to someone a while about it, and apart from anything else, it's just the geography of the place is so huge, and compared with the UK being, it's a small island, so everything just spreads like wildfire. And I think one of the things that's refreshing about like being over here is people are a little bit less sort of anxious, and a little bit sort of, there's less of that sort of like frantic energy that you get back home. People are a bit more relaxed, and like Will said with Jeffrey, it was about, it's about just working hard and just the long game, and I think that's exciting. That's what's really exciting about working over here and, trying to break it over here. And I think it's something that's exciting
totally,
for us.
Totally. And I think of course we want to do well in the US, but I don't think that it's such a strange phrase, trying to break the US, because and if we have enough success that we can come over here and play in front of 300-400 people in every town, that would be incredible. If it's more, great. But I mean, I don't think we're not planning on being the biggest band ever in the US. If we can have some element of success, that would be amazing. If it gets bigger than that, then that would also be amazing.
And one of the quotes that I heard you say, I believe it was in a UK interview, and it was a good quote, so I want to just follow up on it, was that the perception is that, all of these songs are dance tracks.
I think a lot of it is just due to the fact that singles, normally you have to have the tracks that are slightly more up, slightly more dancey, because they perhaps draw people in quicker
than slower, sort of moody, atmospheric tracks. So, they're singles. They're not representative really of our whole sound, but they are representative of a part. So there are those tracks, and then there are what people would call the album tracks that are sort of slightly more cinematic, dreamy, lower key sort of ones. That's, you know, I think that's always the way with records.
If people want to dance to the music, that's fine. You know, that's fine. That's great.
If people haven't heard your album and they've only heard two singles, and you play to a room, and you know, thankfully there's enough sort of interest in the band that we played to a relatively full room last night. And if by the end of your show people are into it, that means that you've done something right, because you're not just playing to people who know the songs and want to sing along. You're playing to people who are there because you have to prove yourself to them. And that's really, really exciting, because if at the end of your 6-song set you got the whole room being like, actually, you know what, that was really fun and they're having a good time, then you've done something right, you've won some people over. And that's the most exciting thing about coming to a different country, whether it be America or Australia or even in the UK still for us. I mean, just trying to win people over the whole time it's hard work, but it's exactly what we should be doing at this very moment. And that's the most exciting thing for us.
I think also, just quickly, as a sort of, like, music fans like myself or ourselves, I think seeing a band live before having heard a record is often the best way to come to something. And I think we hopefully are shine as a live band as much, even more perhaps, as a recorded band. And I think that's hopefully the best way to come to us and to discover us. So
I do a thing called a musical sandwich. And it's two of your songs as the bread, and songs by anybody else you want to play in between.